Brown spins, pull-up jump shot. It's good.
That's something that the Celtic coaching staff talked to the referees about at halftime.
Jaylen Brown with the finish. Wow. Well, the Celtics were down 3-2 in the previous round, came back and won. The Heat are going to have to try and do the same thing as Boston dribbles it out. The Celtics steamroll the Heat here in the second half. And now have a 3-2 lead in these Eastern Conference Finals.
It has been a struggle for the Miami Heat over the last two games offensively. And last night it was okay for the first half as far as their prospects of winning. But a big third quarter for the Celtics ended that chance. And Boston, as you just heard, going back home with a 3-2 lead in the series and a chance to close it out in Boston coming up tomorrow night. We'll have more on the game coming up here in this sports ticket here today. So we welcome everybody in to the sports ticket. Again, the NBA playoffs rolling on last night and then tonight as the Warriors will have a chance to close out the Western Conference Finals as well. More on that. More on the NHL playoffs. A wild game in Denver last night between the Avalanche and Blues. And we'll chat about the French Open a little bit. I'm the tennis guy, and I was barely even aware that the French Open was going on until Tuesday night. I was like rolling through and scrolling through. I saw Naomi Osaka lost in the first round to Anna Samova, and I'm like, oh, that's actually the French Open, and it's already started. So I'm usually a little bit more on top of that, but everything else that's been going on, it slipped through. But it only slipped through for a day, so we're good.
Those tournaments don't really get started until somebody big loses, right?
And we've actually had a couple big people lose, especially on the women's side. But names that I know that a lot of people probably don't know, but even so, they're still high seeds. And so had a couple more go down yesterday on the women's side. We'll tell you a little bit about that. But a milestone win for one of the most popular tennis players in the sport now and in the history of the game as well. So we'll talk about that as well coming up here on the sports ticket. And the Royals will be back in action. We'll spend a brief moment on them. We don't have to talk much about them because they didn't play yesterday. So that's always good. And obviously we'll have our Cubs update with Jason coming up later in the show as well. So stay tuned for that. One of the things we do want to remind you about first, though, a couple of local things to tell you about. Obviously, state track and field. Track is the last sport remaining here in spring sports in the state of Kansas for the 2021-22 school year. And we have a lot of area athletes that have qualified for the state track and field championships coming up tomorrow at Cessna Stadium there and at Wichita State University on the outskirts of Cessna Stadium as they'll be throwing and jumping and all kinds of different activities and events that our area athletes will be competing in. So stay tuned tomorrow. We'll have more of a preview coming up on our sports cast and we'll hear from those coaches again on the sports ticket as well. The 1A, 2A, and 3A teams will have the afternoon session tomorrow, so field events will start at 1:15. Track prelims start at 2:10 coming up tomorrow there at Cessna Stadium. Our first report will be about 1:30 to kind of set the scene, and then hopefully about 2 o'clock we'll start being able to tell you some results after the 1:15 start with field events. If not, definitely by 2:30 we'll have results and tell you about who's qualifying for Saturday's finals at state track and field. So we're looking forward to that. Again, our first reports will come up tomorrow in the afternoon at 1:30 on Katy Country 94, and then we'll have report every half hour tomorrow, and then Saturday we'll have reports all day until the state track and field championships are finished. So we're looking forward to seeing a lot of great performances, and we have a chance to get a lot of our area athletes some medals down at state. So stay tuned for that coming up tomorrow with state track and field updates from Cessna Stadium. You can find all of our area state qualifiers for Katy Country 94 and more state track and field info all posted at ncksports.com. If you're wondering who's made it to state, if you're wondering what time approximately they're going to be on the track or in the field, that breaks it down. I have a rundown based on time, or you can, there's another tab on there that you can click just to see who from each school has made it, and it's sorted out by school. So all that is at your fingertips there, ncksports.com, and that's a Google document that I'll be updating live with their results as they go on Friday and Saturday, so you won't have to wait to find out how your favorite athlete or favorite team is doing at state track. So again, that's at ncksports.com. You can find all of that info. All right, one other local note to tell you about, and it'll tie in with what we talked about yesterday as well with Christian Brown, the KU Men's Basketball Championship special tonight on Z96.3 Through the Lake with head coach Bill Self. That'll be at 6 o'clock this evening. So KU fans, if you're interested, you want to listen to that. Again, it's on Z96.3 Through the Lake tonight at 6 o'clock, KU Men's Basketball Championship special. Christian Brown, we talked about on Wednesday, yesterday, that he has officially kept his name in the NBA draft, and he finally came out with a statement later on that night, and so does say that winning a national championship was a lifelong dream for a kid from Kansas, and we did that. I'll never forget that moment, that run, and the work we put in to get there. And to our fans, you have no idea the difference you make. There's truly no place like Kansas, nothing like playing in Allen Fieldhouse. I'll never take that for granted. So he says, while I may not be at Kansas next year, Lawrence will be forever home. And now it's time to continue to work and take everything I learned at Kansas to make myself the best I can possibly be. I hope to make you all proud. Cannot wait to represent Kansas basketball at the next level. Rock chalk forever, Christian Brown. Signed, Christian Brown, again headed to the NBA. And again, I kind of felt that way most of the time when he had made the decision. Well, I know we chatted about this a little bit yesterday, but it might have got buried with how deep we got into the show yesterday as well. So, you know, I kind of felt like he was going to be a guy that was going to be ready to go to the NBA, and he wasn't going to be coming back to KU this year. And obviously with the people telling him, hey, you had a great combine there, bud. You're now mid to late first round instead of late first to maybe early second. It's an obvious decision. Yeah.
No. once you perform well at the combine and get told that you're performing well at the combine, that's the main thing is these guys get feedback from certain people that are in the know. And once you get told that you're probably a pretty close to surefire first rounder, you just won a national title. Yeah, you're out. You can go out on top. You can go in with some momentum there of trying to be that first round pick. Yeah, that's a no brainer in my book. And, you know, he might, you know, surprise us, you know, with just where in that first round he might go. You know, it just takes one team to like you, and he could, you know, he could be 15, 18, 20, somewhere in there, and I think he can help a team fairly quickly.
So we heard Christian Brown is going to the NBA. We know that, and there's been some mock drafts actually. Wait a minute, listen, the Spurs have 3 first-round picks, and Christian Brown has fallen. It's 9, 20, and 25 at the Spurs. And there's a lot of mock drafts that I've seen, and actually a few of them that have had Christian Brown going to the Spurs. So yep. I'm trying to decide if I want that on my team, if I feel like he's going to be a guy that's going to translate to the NBA as much as these scouts and everybody's telling him that he will be. I feel a little more confident maybe than I maybe did
6 weeks ago.
But also my thing is the Spurs have a lot of dudes a lot like Christian Brown. So I'm like, do they need another one?
Right.
That's my question. So Christian Brown's going to the NBA. David McCormick is not coming back, but I've also heard he's running for Senate in Pennsylvania. I was listening to the news coming in, and they're talking about Dr. Oz and his Senate race in Pennsylvania, and he's going against David McCormick in his primary. And I'm like, oh. So he's just going to go ahead and skip the NBA.
That's where we're at. We have the probable or should have been the MLB player of the Final Four and Dr.
I'm done
Oz
with basketball.
And those are our congratulations, Pennsylvania. Those are your choices.
Yeah. No, I'm guessing it's a. I can tell by the picture it's a different David McCormick.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's actually, I believe, spelled different as well. But I heard that coming in. I was like, oh, man, he's just going to go ahead and skip the NBA and do politics right away.
Well,
that is not true.
To the headline.
I made all of that up. Don't go tell everybody that David McCormick's running for Senate in Pennsylvania.
Right.
It's not happening. But the next domino that could fall here is Jalen Wilson. He's obviously put his name in the hopper for the NBA draft so far right now anyway, and again is getting some feedback, and it sounds like people are starting to like what he's been doing in the NBA combines and things like that. As Wade said yesterday, he's going to head to another different training combine and maybe even improve his stock a little bit more. Might not be back. The Kevin McCullough thing with Christian Brown obviously going to the NBA, I feel like that was kind of the move, right? Like,
right.
Okay, I'm going to go to KU now because he's gone.
Yep.
And everybody's like, he's still in the draft. Well, I'm going to be very, very surprised if Kevin McCullough is not a member of Kansas's men's basketball team this coming season. So, so Christian Brown is officially out at Kansas and headed to the NBA, and we'll find out about Jalen Wilson. Hopefully, I would guess probably about a week and a half, we'd know a little bit more about Jalen Wilson and if he's going to be headed to the NBA as well. So, again, don't forget tonight, KU National Championship Special, 6 o'clock, Z96.3 The Lake, for all those KU men's basketball fans that want to listen to that, featuring Bill Self here tonight. And I would guess Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, will be with you tonight as well for the KU Men's National Championship Special. Again, 6 o'clock. Z96.3 The Lake. All right. The good news is we don't have to talk about a Royals loss today. They had six in a row going into yesterday, but they didn't play yesterday. So we're happy they didn't lose.
The Royals will be
back on the field tonight. They start a four-game series against the AL Central leading Minnesota Twins. The Twins swept Kansas City last weekend at Kauffman Stadium. Minnesota's 27-17. Royals are 14-28. Doesn't look good to try to stop a six-game losing streak the way the Twins beat the Royals on Sunday without even trying to win, as we've established. Down 6-0 and scored 7 runs in the 8th and 9th inning, as we've gone over. That's the last experience the Royals and Twins have had against each other, and I don't like that going into this series in Minnesota now instead of Kansas City when they already swept them at Kauffman Stadium. Again, Royals have lost 6 straight, 8 out of 10. Opening game of the series tonight, Daniel Lynch is 2-3 with a 4.01 ERA. He'll start for the Royals. Devin Smeltzer of the Twins, 1-0 with a 1.74 ERA. First pitch set for 6:40 from Target Field this evening. Again, I'm not looking forward to this series at all unless something would change for the Royals, but things are not going well right now.
If it was a little bit later in the season, like that, just the way that Sunday game worked out. Now, there's too much on the calendar left. You can have injuries and stuff like that still happen quite often. But like, those are the kind of wins, like teams that are hovering around first place, that sometimes if it's later on in the season in the second half, kind of propel a team to a good run. It's getaway day. You've already taken 2 out of 3. You're down 6-0. And, you know, the main thing is, you know, everybody's thinking, all right, let's just pack everything up and get on the road to the next place. But then you score 7 in 2 innings to get a win on the road when you've already without 2 of your guys in the lineup. Yeah, you know, those are things that bring teams together. Now, like I said, might be a little bit too much of the calendar left. And injuries can still play a part and stuff like that. But we'll kind of see what the Twins do here in the next month or so and see if maybe it's just a one-off or if it's something that they're built on.
Yeah, the Twins are a weird team. Like, years that you don't expect them to be good, they're
right.
Good. And then years that they're going to build off of what they did last year, and then they just fall down into the tank. 27-17 right now. As far as I'm trying to figure out where they would fall in the league, they're the third best team in the American League right now. So the Yankees are 31-13, best team in baseball, and the Astros 29-16, followed by the Twins at 27-17. The Rays are right behind them at 26-17, and then the Angels are right behind them at 27-18. So kind of a logjam there, 3-4-5 as far as the best teams in the American League are concerned. In the National League, the Dodgers are 29-14, and the Brewers are 28-16. Padres 29-17, New York Mets. So those are four teams really vying there at the top of the National League right now in those standings. But again, as Jason said, it's early in the season. Some of that might change. The Yankees are looking awfully good right now at 31-13, and I don't know how much that's going to change as the season goes on unless they have some major injuries. Looks like the Yankees are in pretty good shape here. Leading the East, again, the Twins lead the Central, Astros lead the West. National League East, the Mets have a lead, and nobody else has a winning record in the National League East right now. The Braves are 21-23, defending World Series champions, and you see that at times where you win a championship and then you kind of fall back down to earth a little bit. I know the Braves have dealt with some injuries, I believe, this year, and obviously they don't have Freddie Freeman anymore, and some of the guys that were part of that team are not there anymore. Jorge Soler's not there.
Right.
He was part of the World Series team, had a great playoff, and so you do. You have to reload or rebuild depending on the case there. Again, Milwaukee leading the Central, and the Dodgers are leading the NL West. Time now for our Cubs update with Jason.
It's brought to you by longtime Chicago fan and Chicagoan John Cusack. John Cusack bringing you today's Cubs update. Cincinnati wins 4-3. Boo, boo. Lost to the Reds.
Woof.
So two teams not near the top of the National League standings.
13-30. Yeah. The Reds are 13-30 now.
Cubs are now 18-25.
Yep.
They start early today, 11:35.
Which, by the way, I just said the Royals, you know, we can cheer that they didn't lose yesterday, right? since they didn't play yesterday, though, they are officially in last place in the American League Central because the Tigers won a game yesterday. They actually beat the Twins 4-2.
Of course.
So they beat the Twins, the team leading the division, to go ahead and take the fourth spot. The Royals are sitting here in the cellar. We're so used to it. Run differential is minus 62 for the Kansas City Royals. I'm going to try to see. Yeah, the Reds are minus 73. And actually, the Pirates, despite having the same record as the Cubs, are minus 83
now,
in run differential.
To be fair, the Cubs put about 30 of those on in two games. One was 21-0 or something like that.
Yeah.
Another one was 10-0. Yeah, so that's a touch misleading, but at the same time, that's still bad.
It's still bad.
Yeah.
Minus, it doesn't matter who got them and where they got them. So the Royals are third to last in, run differential, whichever way you look at that, they're the third highest in bad run differential.
It's not perfect, but it's a nice point of reference. It kind of does tell you over time how your team really
is. Yeah, the Royals, just they're not scoring runs. And, you know, they've had games finally where they started doing that. We're deep into the season. Well, not deep, but deep enough into the season, and they finally hit eight runs in a single game.
Yep.
They've done that more often now to get up to that. But it's kind of interesting to look at that. Though, obviously, your run differential and your wins, there's going to be some similarities there. If you have a very high run differential, as the Dodgers are plus 101 in run differential. The Yankees are only up 68, though, and they're 31-13. So I just saw that. I was like, man, run differential minus 62, not good. Nothing good about the Royals currently, except for we get to watch MJ Melendez, and sometimes we'll get to watch Bobby Witt Jr.
We're never going to let that go. Never.
It's not going to happen.
Nope.
I mean, it's just like, what are you doing? Right. So the Royals back at it. Minnesota Twins fans will be able to watch Bobby Witt Jr. coming up tomorrow, probably, up in Minnesota. So, again, that starts tomorrow night. Tonight, excuse me. They'll be able to watch Bobby Witt Jr. tonight, hopefully, up in Minnesota. That starts, 6:40 tonight for the first pitch. First of four games between the Royals and the Twins. All right, you heard this earlier, but I just want to play it again.
Four on the shot clock. Jaylen Brown spins, pull-up jump shot. It's good.
That's something that the Celtic coaching staff talked to the referees about at halftime.
Jaylen Brown with the finish. Wow.
It was early in the fourth quarter. The other shot was right at the end of the third quarter. Jaylen Brown was outstanding in the second half last night for the Celtics. And that dunk he had right there that Breen called, you can't get the full effect of it just listening to that cut. But if you watch the highlight, man, he just flew through the lane, actually ended up falling down when he came down. I think he was expecting some contact from the bottom when he came down, and he didn't get it and fell on the ground. But it was an authoritative dunk there by Jaylen Brown early in the fourth quarter. And if there was any doubt if the Celtics were going to go ahead and put that one away, that was probably what they needed to go ahead and put the exclamation point on it last night. Boston struggled a little bit. Both teams struggled in the first half offensively. The Heat have done this two games in a row now. They scored 80 in game would have been game four, and then they scored just 82, or they scored 82 in game four. They scored 80 last night. Correction. So this is a team that struggled. It took them until like three some minute mark of the first quarter to get their first field goal in game four.
Yeah.
Game five, it was like this just anemic offense that finally picked up a little bit. And they were able to get things going finally there. But they led actually at halftime over the Celtics 42-37. But
just one quick note here. Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry, both guys kind of banged up. We don't know exactly how bad they are or how well they're going, but combined 4 of 24 from the field.
Yeah.
So doesn't they're fighting through it, but doesn't bode well that for playing well, and they're going to need two real good games in a row to beat the Celtics.
Yeah, and I can dive into that a little bit more here, too. But the Celtics, anyway, they trailed 42-37 at halftime to the Heat, but that third quarter was a huge quarter for them. They outscored the Heat 32-16 in the third, 56-38 overall in the second half. And again, Miami just anemic, struggling offensively right now. And you know, Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry have been dealing with injuries and issues like that, but Butler still played 40 minutes last night. Kyle Lowry played 25. I get that you can use that and say that they are struggling, but if you're playing, you're playing. You got to go out there and have success, and they're just not doing that right now. I'm not saying that I don't sympathize or empathize a little bit if these guys are playing injured and they're not at 100%, because I've seen that happen before. But at this time of year, I'm always one that, like, if you're going to go out there, you're good to go out
right
there. If you've made the decision, if you've made the decision, if the team has made the decision, you're good to play. So you've got to go out and perform. And simply right now, they're not really doing that. They're again, as Jason said, they're 4 of 24 combined, but Kyle Lowry was 0 for 6, 0 for 5 from 3, had one rebound, no assists, 3 turnovers, and 5 fouls. He was hampered with foul trouble, too, and was minus 7 when he was on the court. Now, Jimmy Butler was minus 15, Bam Adebayo minus 23. You can't look a lot at that because the whole team was struggling as far as that plus-minus. But Kyle Lowry is back in the lineup. But that's where I was going to go with this for the Heat is – is he helping this team right now, or is he hurting this team
right now?
He's playing 25 minutes, and just you're not getting much out of him right now. And I realize that it's something you've got to get back into the flow of things. You've got to be, back into a rhythm, and it's hard to get that if you're struggling, if you're hurting. You come in game four and get back into the lineup, or game three, whenever it was that he came back. But he has not really performed and given him much since he's been back, and that's not helping the Heat at all.
Right.
They're just not doing it.
If the Heat had Tyler Hero available, then maybe you can make that move and try it for a game, and if Tyler Hero if he was available, you have that option. But they don't have that option right now, as Hero's not available to the team. And so now, if you're the Heat, if you think he can go, I think you just have to ride it out and see if Kyle Lowry can figure it out as a veteran, try to figure some things out here in these next two games, and then reset yourself for the finals potentially. But it doesn't look good. I thought the Celtics were the better team anyway, but it's looking more and more like, especially right now, you got Tatum and Brown as the two best players on the floor. Mm-hmm. And you could put Jimmy Butler right there if he's 100% healthy, but we're not sure if he is. Now, granted, at this point of year, the cliche is nobody's really 100%. It's a long season, and the playoffs bring out a little more intensity, and I'm sure everybody's got some bumps and bruises and some sore spots. But like you said, you empathize for the Heat, but at the same time, no one's going to shed a tear. The Warriors have been through it. The Celtics have been through this. All these teams, with any playoff, pedigree at all, mm-hmm. have all had down seasons with injuries that they just can't field their full team. And so there's not going to be any tears for the Miami Heat for anybody. But you're right. It's just a little bit too bad. But who knows? Maybe they can turn around. All you really have to do is win game. Obviously you have to win game 7, but you have to win game 6, and then anything can happen in a game 7. You just don't know how people are going to react. Do they get tight? Do they play loose? Do they, and maybe once you get to a game 7, you don't necessarily, and most times you don't play your best game it's just a survival game, and you try to figure it out at the last minute. But, you know, game sevens aren't always pretty because teams are familiar with each other and they're tired and all that stuff. So if the Celtics or if the Heat can find a way in game six, I doubt they do. But if they can find a way, maybe, just maybe, they can make it. But I have my doubts.
They got to figure out something offensively to win game six in Boston because it's not there right now. And they've had two straight games where they've struggled out of the gates, and that's not good. Especially, like you said, there's no Tyler Hero. Kyle Lowry came back in game three, by the way. He was 4 of 11 in that game in 29 minutes, scored 11 points. And in game four, he was non-existent, really. 21 minutes, 3 points, 1 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3. And we just told you last night he was 0 for 6 and didn't score and was in foul trouble and couldn't do much. So the Heat need Kyle Lowry without Tyler Hero. They need Kyle Lowry, if he's in the lineup, to do something for them offensively, and he simply hasn't done that. He scored 14 points in the last three games combined. That's not what you're hoping to get out of Kyle Lowry. And again, I realize he's been injured, but you're back in the lineup, and you're probably expected to do something of significance for this team. And somebody that has done something of significance is Jaylen Brown. He was outstanding last night. Had 25 points overall. Him and Tatum both struggled in the first half. Boston wasn't great in the first half offensively either. Like, I sent a snap to my cousin. I was like, man, the Heat have been just horrific offensively in the last two games to start out. And he's like, well, the defense has been good enough, though. And it was for two quarters last night. But the third quarter is what got him, and part of that was the great performance from Jaylen Brown in the third quarter and the second half especially. He had 17 points in the second half, 25 for the game, 5 of 9 from three-point land. Really was the big difference maker there in the second half. Him and Tatum both. Tatum had another, you know, Jason Tatum-type game where he was there to help lead the way. He had 22 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists, so was doing a lot of different things. Plus 17 when he was on the floor. The team was plus 20 with Jaylen Brown on the floor. And, obviously when you're making a run like that and getting out, they finished the third quarter on a 10-0 run, outscored Boston 32-16 in the third and really outscored Miami, 32-16 in the third and put the game away. So not much after that second half started for the Heat. They were buried pretty quick. You know, they fought and finished out the game, ended up losing by 13 in the end. 93-80 was the final score. So really looking at this series, Boston obviously has the leg up right now. After Miami had taken a 2-1 lead, they're kind of getting home court back in Boston in game three. Hero goes out there, and it kind of probably did change the dynamic and complexion of the series without Hero. But Tyler Hero is still not the guy that's like, oh, this is the guy that's going to make us win or lose a series. They've got Jimmy Butler. They've got, you know, Lowry out there and guys. Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo is a guy that needs to be at times more aggressive. I feel like he's not always doing the most, I think, to help his team. And I think as he continues to maybe grow in that aspect when it comes to the playoffs and kind of getting more of a attack mentality in certain areas, I think that helps this team. But I mean, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo are two guys that could be good enough to keep the Heat in a series and help them win one, right? And we've seen that earlier in the series from Jimmy Butler. We've seen that time and time again, no matter where he's been, that in the playoffs he seems to elevate his game a little bit. So they're going to need that in Boston coming up tomorrow night, but I don't think they're going to get it. I mean, just the way they're playing, they would have to have just a 180 of the way they're playing offensively right now to be able to win in Boston coming up tomorrow night.
Maybe they can find a way to get two more games in this 93-80 type range. But the Celtics had that third quarter. That's just a level that the Heat, especially if they're banged up and without all their guys or without all their offensive options, that's just a level they can't hit. So if the Celtics can find maybe just one more quarter like that, maybe that puts away the series and gets them ready for the finals, which we think will be the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, and I get that. So your main guys, right, and Jason Tatum had a little bit of a scare last night with a shoulder, I believe it was, but he seems to be fine. And I get that the main guys for the Celtics are healthy right now,
yep,
completely, it seems like, right? and the Heat aren't. But, I mean, the Celtics are still dealing with it, too. Marcus Smart didn't play the two games prior to last night. Last night had just 5 points. But, again, makes a difference just being out on the court with his defense. And hey, Robert Williams has been banged up during the whole playoffs here, in and out of the lineup and playing. He had 6 last night. But they're getting points and efforts from – Derek White's actually been pretty good for this team, stepping in as a starter in game number 4 and then – last night in game 5, he had 14 points. I'd rather see Spurs players, former Spurs players, doing that with the Spurs, but not happening right now. Derek White, I don't overly miss Derek White, I'll be completely honest with you, but it's like when we see Jake Junis doing what he's doing with the Diamondbacks right now. It's like, or the Giants, Jake Junis. And it's like, I wish he was doing that for my team. But life goes on, and you move on. And the Celtics move on with a 3-2 lead over the Heat. Game 6 is coming up tomorrow night. That'll be in Boston. So a chance for the Celtics to close it out and make it back to the NBA Finals. Also, a team trying to get to the NBA Finals, the Golden State Warriors. They play tonight in Game 5 against the Boston, or the Dallas Mavericks. Boston's in the East. I'm projecting. They're going to be playing the Boston Celtics. I feel it.
Dusty's crystal ball.
They're playing the Dallas Mavericks tonight, Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. The Warriors are in San Francisco. I actually was with my cousin the other night. I made a joke. I was like, I really wish I would have just pulled the trigger on Warriors in 5 when we were talking about this series and predicting it, because I really wanted to. I just didn't feel like – it's kind of like what Wade was talking about with his son Noah, knowing that it's a bad matchup for the Mavericks. It's a great matchup for the Warriors. Yeah. And I kind of felt that. And I also felt the Warriors are playing better basketball right now than the Suns. And so just all that added together, I felt like the Warriors were going to win this game or this series fairly handily. And they have the chance to do it tonight, and I don't think they're going to fumble that chance tonight. They're back at home in San Francisco. Again, nobody's ever come back from the 3-0 deficit. I really had a pretty good feeling Dallas would win that game at home just to salvage something of this series and try to make it look like it's a series again. But Golden State, if they can continue to play the way they have, and there is a lot of emotions going on there too in Game 4. And with the speech before the game from Steve Kerr, like how much was the focus? How much did that focus stay with the Warriors for Game 4 in Dallas because of all that stuff going on around it?
And it could have been that way for, even without that kind of stuff going on, it could have been that way for a Game 4 anyway, up 3-0.
You just relax. You just know you're going back home, and you've got three more. Yes. I mean, they've got to beat you 3 more times after this to lose.
So it's not uncommon for that team to lose Game 4 anyway. And then, like you said, you know, if they've kind of followed the lead of their coach, who knows exactly where the headspace was at, and you know, but like I said, it's not uncommon for those teams to lose that Game 4 anyway. So I feel bad. Like, I wanted to pull the trigger on the Warriors for the whole thing at the beginning of the playoffs, except going into Game 1, I heard a stat that said Steph, Clay, and Draymond only played like 11 minutes together the whole season. And I'm like, and at the time, I'm thinking, well, Phoenix is just solid enough that I just think that they were going to be able to kind of overcome that. And Golden State would probably not be able to get all that chemistry together to beat a good Phoenix team.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Phoenix didn't make it. So
yeah, what we didn't know was Luka Doncic and the Mavs were going to ruin that.
Yeah. So,
and ruin it emphatically in Game 7 and be like, nah, you're not, you don't have a chance. Yep. This is not your.
That's just me chickening out on what I thought was going to happen. Yeah.
But when you think about that part of it, though, it's like, yeah, they've only played that much together this year, but how much have they played together and on the same floor? And it,
at other times
in their careers, right? Yep. You're talking about Steph, Clay, and Draymond,
and who've
been a part of that since this thing began, right? Mm-hmm. Since they turned this ship around down there in the Bay Area. Yep. So, I'm not saying you should have picked him because of that. I'm just, you kind of think about some of those things when you're like, okay, we can make that excuse for KD, James Harden, and Kyrie, right? They didn't play enough minutes to gel together at all yet, and then they go out and play the playoffs. That's not the case with these guys. They played a lot of minutes and a lot of championship high stress moments together, and that's showing through right now, by the way, that you're seeing that. And but then you're adding Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins to it, and it doesn't seem fair, right? It's like, wait a second. But again, these are things, shrewd moves that the Warriors made.
Yeah.
A lot of people complained about the KD thing, right? I'm like, well, did you watch what the Warriors did to get to this point? Did you see how hard they worked to get to this point? Because they were nothing, literally nothing,
right,
for about 30 to 35 years. You know, they had a good player. You know, Chris Mullin, Mitch Richmond played there for a while. You know, they had, Tim Hardaway was there for a little bit at the early part of his career. Chris Webber played there, I believe.
Yep.
You know, they've had dudes, right? But they never had put anything together.
Right.
And, you know, they had the 1 year where they were the eighth seed with Baron Davis and beat the, it was the Mavericks in the first round. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they had that flash in the pan type deal where there was a lot. And you knew if they started winning that those two cities were going to go wild and that arena would be wild because it was and it still is. And so, and they're obviously playing in a different arena now in San Francisco. But you could feel that if, like, they could do something, they would. And so people were always mad about, oh, they went and signed Kevin Durant just to, because they could. But I'm sitting here like, what team do you know wouldn't make themselves better by signing Kevin Durant?
Oh, yeah, I don't blame
the team. And so it's like, you know, they've done all this and they've built up to this point. And at some point, teams can start figuring you out. And if you want to keep winning championships, you got to make more moves. And now with the, you know, Andrew Wiggins getting a kind of a fresh start and not having to be the dude, he is flourishing with
other
that team.
Teams,
and Jordan Poole this.
Yeah,
just sprouted crazily.
Yeah. Other teams look at Andrew Wiggins and they're like, ugh, he just didn't live up to his potential, blah, blah, blah. He's not the number one pick that top pick that everybody thought he was going to be. The Warriors looked at him, and granted, they have that luxury with their dudes, but they looked at him as, could he be our fourth option or our third option, or you know, can he fit in with what we already have?
And because Clay wasn't there earlier this year, too, and they needed somebody because Clay wasn't there last year either. And so they needed somebody to step in.
You got to give them credit. You know, maybe they got a little lucky, like a blessing in disguise, that Steph was kind of hurt off and on early. It kept him a little bit cheaper when it came time for that second contract. You know, Clay was more of a later first round, or you know, he wasn't a top five pick, so you're not expecting to get that out of that pick there. Draymond was a second round pick; you're not expecting to get a multi-time All-Star there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lucky's not the right term because these guys worked hard and all that stuff. So, but fortunate to get those spots. They're allowed to get the Kevin Durant.
There's this misconception of what the Warriors are and how they built their team.
Yeah.
Just because they signed Kevin Durant.
They didn't do it the flashy.
Yeah.
And that decision was...
They built their team just like any other team has done it, and they added a weapon.
Yeah, and that decision
Everybody
was Harrison
that.
Barnes, who was a fine player, or was a fine player.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a superstar.
No.
So that choice was Barnes or Durant, and as a team,
every team in the league, if you can get KD on it, you're going to take them.
I could see the argument of, or I can understand, I didn't agree with it, but I understood the argument of not liking Durant's decision because it was, you're not competing with them, you're joining them, blah blah blah. I don't like that, but you know, I can understand where people were mad, but from Durant's point of view. But from the Golden State's point of view, you have to make that move. If it's available to you, Durant wanted to play there, you have to make that move. So, I'm not too worried about that. But, Golden State, hopefully, now Durant has moved on, but got Jordan Poole stepping up again. Not expected to be the type of player from the pick that he was.
Yeah.
And they really...
They've struck gold. And I don't think we should overstate what Steve Kerr means to that either.
Oh,
Mark Jackson
smart.
Was the one that kind of was in that rebuild. But a lot of people were like, hey, what are you getting rid of Mark Jackson for? And then Steve Kerr comes in and then they end up having one of the best seasons ever.
He let those guys be who they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
And that's Draymond included.
That's probably the best thing about Steve Kerr is he's not going to... hold you back from that aspect. Right. He's going to, you know, let you go out there and play and do what you... Now, if he needs to reel you in, he'll do it. It's not like he won't do that. But
right.
So Golden State's in position again, and I'm kicking myself for not just being like, yeah, Golden State in five, because I really felt confident that they were going to roll through this series, and it definitely wasn't going to go seven. I was pretty confident in that. Now, it's still not over. It still could go seven, but they got to finish it out tonight here, the Golden State Warriors against the Dallas Mavericks. That game is tipping off at 8 o'clock in San Francisco on TNT. Speaking of finishing things out, the Colorado Avalanche did not do that last night.
Here's Bozak. Winds and shoots. He scores! Tyler Bozak in overtime has forced game six in the series.
And hockey's a different animal. If you have a chance to close it out, get it done, because it does not matter where you're at. It showed last night. The game was in Denver. Avalanche are up 3-0. Mid to late second quarter, Blues get a goal, get within 3-1 after two periods, and then they score two in the third period to tie it at 3. And they're like, well, this is going to overtime. But no, wait. The Avalanche went ahead and scored just under 4 minutes left. They tie it, or they take the lead at 4-3. 1 minute left. You got to hold it for one more minute. 56 seconds left. The Blues tie it, and boom, all momentum swings back to them. The Avalanche probably hanging their heads, walking into the locker room there with the overtime intermission, and just boom, not too long into overtime, the Blues have won the game and forced game six. They're going back to St. Louis, and it's 3-2 when you were that close to wrapping it up and moving on to the Western Conference Finals. And like I said, we've seen it so many times in hockey throughout the playoffs this year, throughout history, that no matter where you're at, you got to come out and play. Your home court advantage, your home ice advantage is not as big as it is in a lot of other sports, or some of the other sports anyway, and you've got to go out and play. And again, but at the same time, you could flip the script, and easily Colorado could go to St. Louis tomorrow night and wrap up the series. But it's got to hurt, man.
Yeah, when you have a chance, like you said, when you have a chance to close that, you got to, because you never know what that opposing goalie is going to do the next night or the next game. Is he gonna throw the equivalent of a four hit shutout that a starting pitcher does, or is he gonna let a soft one in? You know, you just don't know. And you know, goalie has a huge impact, home court or not, or home ice, I should say.
Yeah, we knew what you meant. Yeah. NHL playoffs continue tonight with I had the story already. It was the Avalanche move on to the Western Conference Final. They're going to play the winner of the Flames and Oilers. The Oilers could finish that off tonight as well. And no, they didn't. The Avalanche didn't finish it off. So we wait and see what happens there. But again, tonight it is in the Western Conference, the Flames and Oilers. In Calgary, the Oilers do hold a 3-1 lead in that second round series. Game 5 at 8:30 on ESPN tonight. And then in the Eastern Conference second round, the Hurricanes and Rangers tied at 2 games each. Important Game 5 showdown takes place in Carolina tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN. So that's a look at the NHL playoffs and how things are going there in the battle for the Stanley Cup. Hey, here's a story, too. Like I said earlier, I totally forgot and didn't realize the French Open was starting, but it is underway. And we'll move to that here real quickly as the French Open is rolling on here. They're in round two right now, and on Wednesday, Rafael Nadal reached 300 career Grand Slam match victories. He won over Corentin Moutet. Everybody knows that guy, right? 6-3, 6-1, 6-4, second round at Roland Garros. The only real blip that says here in the story that I'm reading for the 13-time French Open champion, by the way, he's the number 5 seed, but if Rafael Nadal is playing in the French Open, he's the favorite to win the French Open. Don't care what his seed is. It does not matter. 13 times he's won this tournament. And obviously, if he keeps playing like he is, he's on a road to 14. So anyway, the only blip came near the end. He was broken by the 139th ranked Frenchman that he was playing yesterday, serving for the match at 5-3, but he broke right back to improve. You know, you can't read that, can you?
No.
Okay, do you know how many times this man has lost at Roland Garros? He has played 110 matches in the French Open after yesterday. Wade likes to do these trivia questions, so I figured I'd catch you on one.
Well, I'm just going to guess 5 or 6. That's all.
3.
3? Wow.
107 wins and 3 losses at Roland Garros. I mean, when you win it 13 times, you're going
to
add.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
You're trying to figure out how many
times
has he played
in there. I didn't know.
Like, how many times? He's won 13, but how many? Obviously, he's played in 16 French Opens.
Oh, man.
And he is 107-3 at Roland Garros. It is insane, the success that he has had. And not only at Roland Garros, but just on clay in general. But obviously, when your major that's on clay is the French Open, you focus more on that because it's the Grand Slam. And so, 107-3 for Rafael Nadal. There have been some upsets on the women's side more so than the men's side. Top seeded Novak Djokovic won in straight sets yesterday as well to move on to the third round. 13th seeded American Taylor Fritz was the highest seed to lose in the second round. He fell in 4 sets. On the women's side, though, number 4 seed Maria Sakkari as last year's she's been knocked out, and then last year's U.S. Open champ Emma Raducanu, the 18-year-old from Great Britain or United Kingdom, whatever her tag is on that, she's ranked number 12, and she lost yesterday as well. So kind of some upsets there in the French Open. Second round action continues today at Roland Garros, and I'll check and see real quick if there's any upsets going on at this moment as they are underway with today's second round matchups. And Francis Tiafoe, the number 24 seed from the U.S., has been eliminated from the tournament so far today. So probably the biggest upset. Still more matches to come there on the men's side. Women's side doesn't appear that they're – well, Karolina Pliskova, the 8th seed, looks like she just got beat out in straight sets as well on the women's side. So we're seeing some of these women get upset, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as we get through the rest of this week and then head into next week when you really find out it gets pared down. You'll see who has a chance to win a major coming up next week at the French Open. Again, second round action here today. One final note before we wrap up here on the sports ticket. We had K-State in focus yesterday. The Big 12 baseball tournament is underway. I meant to get to this right after we talked about Royals and baseball, but I forgot I had this tab pulled up. K-State opened out play in the Big 12 tournament yesterday with a 5-3 loss to Texas Tech. I believe this is a single elimination or double elimination tournament. Excuse me. I don't have the bracket right in front of me because I can't find it, but Texas Tech beat K-State yesterday 5-3. Texas Tech, a very high-seeded team and a solid team there in the Big 12 championships in baseball. Texas won 4-0 over Oklahoma State, TCU over Baylor 4-2, and OU won 6-4 over West Virginia. K-State plays West Virginia today at 12:30 in Arlington. Here, again, winner will move on, keep their Big 12 tournament hopes alive, and the loser is done.
I do have a K-State-related note. December 17th, K-State basketball with new head coach Jerome Tang will be playing Nebraska, but they're going to be doing that in Kansas City T-Mobile Center.
Wildcat Classic. They rotate from Wichita and Kansas City each year. So 1 year they'll play it in Wichita, the next year they'll play it in Kansas City. So this year's is in Kansas City against Nebraska.
Of all years, the one time I probably want them to keep it, like at a local, at one of the home spots.
Closer, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Manhattan. Do it at Bramlage, or the Devaney Center. Yeah. You could do that, but no. Nobody cares what you want, dude.
I know.
Cares what I want. Nobody cares what the fans want. They just
no. It is a good event, and
they just want all
nice
the money,
have,
right?
Right. It has the night neutral court once in a while.
And usually, most of the time, when they have one of those Wildcat Classics, it's against a Power 5 school.
Right.
Or they played Gonzaga 1 year down at Wichita, and I actually went to that game. K-State, if I remember, won that game. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they won. Anyway, I saw Marcus Foster put David Stockton on a poster right in front of me. It was wild, man. I was like, this is a good seat to see that. but yeah, they play that Wildcat Classic every year. And, yep, K-State, Nebraska. You said December 17th is the date. I had seen it the other day, but I hadn't heard. I didn't remember what I knew. It's always in December, so I didn't know which date that would be. But, yeah, K-State, Nebraska. Jerome Tang taking on the Scurs.
We'll probably chalk that one up for Jerome Tang and his crew. We don't know.
Listen, I don't know what the team's going to look like, but I'm confident we're going to get a dub against Nebraska in Kansas City.
Yeah. I'm a fan, and I don't know, Fred
Hoiberg, maybe he'll turn it around here this year. Get him, have just the surprise season that nobody was expecting.
I'll hope. I'm not going to hold my breath, but I'll hope.
Your laughing wasn't very convincing that no. You'll hope. K-State baseball again playing West Virginia today in the Big 12 tournament at 12:30 there in Arlington, Texas. That'll wrap it up today for the Sports Ticket. We thank everybody for tuning in. Don't forget again tonight, the KU special, national championship special on Z96.3 beginning at 6 o'clock. So be listening for that. They'll be joined by Bill Self there for the national championship special. Again, Z96.3 through the lake, 6 o'clock tonight. State track and field reports coming up tomorrow. We'll have more of a state track preview coming up tomorrow on the Sports Ticket and our sports cast on KD Country 94.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.